Well, amen. We praise the Lord for the cross of Calvary. The only way to God is through the cross, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy this morning, chapter 3. Check 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be reading the first five verses here. And powerful passage of scripture as Timothy is, Paul is writing to young Timothy, who is going to continue the pastorate after Paul would be gone, but he needed to understand some things as the revelation that Jesus Christ brought to man revealed to us a rapture of the church and a church age, and then that would lead into a seven-year tribulation and then a millennial reign of Christ. And so Jesus brought that, revealed it. It's always been a part of the teachings in the Old Testament, the prophecies. They're just prophecies that were not fully understood until Christ came and he revealed these things. And so now Paul is writing to Timothy concerning some of the things that will take place as we reach the last days, or if we're reaching the end of the church age, which will take place at the rapture of the church. So if you'll stand with me this morning, we'll go ahead and read this, the first five verses, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. They're going to come. There's no way around it. They're going to come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, what a blessing it has already been just being assembled in the house of the Lord. And Father, as we have opened up the scriptures and we have read this passage, there's no doubt there's so much in this passage, but I believe there's a message that you would have me to preach that our people and all that are listening would need to take in, and all of us needing to apply these truths to our lives today. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. Use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So here again we find that Paul is very well understanding of the end times, the New Testament era that Christ revealed to him and ushered in, and all the things that would be taking place leading up to the rapture of the church would end the church age. And so he writes these things and he reveals that these are going to be perilous times. I think we have a good chance of this age group here, and I hope myself included, being able to experience the coming of the Lord in the rapture of the church. And I believe that's how we ought to live our lives, even though it might not come in your lifetime. We ought to live our lives as if there is a possibility, a very great possibility today than ever before, because we are closer to the end times, we're closer to the rapture than any other generation before our time. Amen. And so, yes, it has been 2,000 years. That's just a couple days in the eyes of the Lord. And so it's still young, but we're there. We're looking at the mentality of humanity. And he presents a lot of things here for us about the mentality of humanity, and not just the United States. I think mainly in the United States, because this would be the most Christian mentality of all other nations. But there are other Christian nations, other Christian people and around the world, in all the different lands around the world. And so, but this is something that God is revealing to us. And he says this is going to be the prominent mindset of humanity as we reach those last days before the coming, before the rapture of the church. He gives a list of all these sins, and each one of these would be a sin. But something that not everyone would associate with the rest of these sins, there are several things in there that you look at, and we're not looking to define all these. It's a good Bible study for you. You ought to search out the definition of each one of these sins that Paul is revealing in writing to Timothy, and because these are things that we're going to have to fight off, because they're going to be prominent in the day and age. And as I read these and understand most of these, the definition of these, then you say, wow, we can definitely see that. Can see that in how, in my own lifetime, how it has changed over the last just few years, and definitely changed over the last 20 to 30 years. And so most of us in our lifetime, we said, what a change there has been in the mentality of humanity. And so we find here, he gives a list of all these, but what's in this list, and I believe maybe the one which could quite possibly lead to all the others, is found in verse 2 when it says, unthankful. Unthankful. Now, most of us, or many, would not look at that and say, well, that's the most important one. But can I tell you, when you study the scriptures and you look at humanity today, I think that might be the most important one. Because that is what kind of leads to the mentality that we have. Unthankful. To make acknowledgement to one for favors received. Being unthankful is a failure to do this. And as we're reading what Paul is writing, it is acknowledging God first and foremost. And these are sins against God. And so this sin of unthankfulness is a failure to acknowledge God. And as we have a failure to acknowledge God, then we have a failure to be thankful for the favors of what God has done for us. Romans in chapter 1 goes right along with this when it comes to that mentality, if you will, of the end time humanity. In Romans in chapter 1, in verse 20 to verse 25, I'm just going to read. There's so much more in this particular chapter, but I want to focus on these verses here. But verse 20, it says this, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. It's revealing that there's no excuse. Man, humanity, if they want to see God, they can see God. You have to not want to see God to block out all the evidences of God. You have to block out, you don't want to believe that there's a creator God. You don't want to believe that there is a God who will hold man accountable for his actions because he's given us a free will. You don't want to believe that there's a God who has established a holy lifestyle, a righteous lifestyle, a way that God would have expectations on humanity to live. It's clearly seen that there is a creator God, but if you don't want to do these things and live as though there is a creator God, then this is what is happening. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, your own spirit is bearing witness with God's spirit. God is revealing there is a creator God. You can't deny that, all the different things. So when you understand that, when you knew that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So they want to act as if there is no God, even though in their inner spirit they know that there's a God, because God created us with a desire to seek after him. Neither were thankful, right after their rejection of knowing that there's a God. But became vain in their imaginations. This is what happens when you are not thankful, when you want to reject the evidence and the truths and the reality of a creator God, and you don't want to give him thanks for creation and for all that he has done for humanity, for the very land that we live on, the earth, the very air that we breathe, all the different things. And so when they failed to acknowledge the God and giving God thanks for all these things, then and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, thinking they have a greater mentality, a greater understanding of how life needs to be lived than what God has revealed. And because of this, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You made God to be your servant. You made God to be whatever you wanted God to be, however it would benefit you. That's what's going on with that. And we've seen that over the years in humanity. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, allowed them to live however they wanted to live because they have a free will. And they gave them up because they wanted to live through the lust of their own hearts. That was preferred lifestyle. Whatever lifestyle you want, whatever you identify with, you can be. The lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. The truth of God is a creator God who has standards for humanity to live by, who desires humanity to be holy and righteous and thankful. And worship and serve the create creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Wow. But neither were thankful, which the Bible reveals led them to vanity and darkness. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So when we do not acknowledge God, it leads to being unthankful. And when we're unthankful, it leads to vanity and darkness. Wow. Isn't that what the Bible's telling us right here? What we're just reading and studying, and mainly in what Paul is writing to Timothy, for him to continue and to present to humanity and preach the word in this New Testament church age. Can I tell you that it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, and we will not go there because of the sake of time, but in the beginning of creation, before the fall of man, Adam and Eve's downfall was their failure to acknowledge God and be thankful. Satan come to them to discredit God from being the loving creator God who wanted to fellowship with humanity and bless humanity. Satan come to discredit God and to lead them to be unthankful. Now, how do you see that, preacher? Well, God created man and woman, blessed them with the entire earth, prepared a place for them in the garden, which was a place of paradise on earth, and gave them instructions. And out of all that God had given to them, the earth being filled with all kinds of fruits and all kinds of things, everything that they could ever imagine, he gave them one command of what they should not do. They could not to eat of the fruit of the one tree. A test. But man would have to choose not to do that. God did not force that. God could have removed the tree. But he wanted man's free will to be tested to love him unconditionally. But he said, this one thing, look around you, everything else. He gave Adam the most beautiful wife that had ever been. Yeah. He gave Eve the greatest husband that had ever lived. He made them as compatible as possible in every area of creation, every area of life. He provided everything they could ever hope for and want if they were focused on God. But they were forbidden just one tree. Satan had to change their belief in God, making out God really not to mean what he says and says what he means. No, he didn't really mean that. And you can have this, and it'll give you more than what God has provided for you. What a mentality. It's a mentality of being unthankful, not wanting to acknowledge God for who he is, wanting God to be what I want him to be, and then sinning against God by doing what he told me not to do. And they were deceived by the devil, and we find that they sinned against God and therefore inquired in the penalty of sin that has passed down to all of us. And ever since that, man has been vulnerable to Satan's attempts to get to block out who God is and to be unthankful for what God has provided. Wow. So we're living in the last days. The path to overcoming all of these sins that Paul is writing to Timothy, and if you will, Jesus presented to the New Testament church to present to humanity. What Paul has wrote to Timothy, God inspired Paul to write because God has instructed every preacher since that day to stand and proclaim the very words that God has revealed to us. What I'm doing today has taken place for some 2,000 years now in churches that truly believe the Bible and want to hear the Bible preached and want to understand who God is. The path to overcoming all these other sins that are listed there, and again, my goodness, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. We continue to get worse, and these are the sins that continue just to escalate over and over. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, or self-control, no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Some might have a form of God, but they deny the power. They deny Jesus Christ, which is the power behind godliness. So the path to overcoming all these sins and also the oppression and the discouragement that follows these sins. These sins do not bring happiness. These sins do not bring joy. Pleasure, temporary pleasure, but what follows these sins are oppression. You've fallen right into the hands of the devil, just as we find Adam and Eve hiding from God once they realized that they had done wrong. And how it had affected them. They were oppressed by the devil, and they were discouraged over what they did. They was hiding. The very same thing. These sins will lead to those kinds of judgments, punishments, results of living this lifestyle. The path acknowledges God is and being thankful. The path begins overcoming these sins, overcoming oppression, overcoming the discouragement that these sins bring into our lives, is get back to what God wants us to do from the very beginning. Acknowledge God for who He is. Stop thinking that I need to tell God how to instruct me. And acknowledging God for who He is and following His instructions, following His guidelines, following His will, and being thankful. Throughout the New Testament, we find the Bible reveals much about this, and Jesus Himself taught His disciples in so many different ways. But here we find in Paul's writing in Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 20, Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 20, it says this, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging that there is a Trinity and there is a Savior that sends to us a Comforter that both point us to the Father. And so he says concerning that, giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, to God and the Father of the name in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks always, always. In the book of Colossians, right a couple pages over, I want you to take this in this morning. Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You see, when you truly are thankful and just not saying thanks, but being thankful of heart and mind to God, acknowledging God and giving Him thanks, it will do something for us. It will bring to us a peace of God and the joy of the Lord. He says in verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Everything, as you are thankful, as you realize that there's a God, you understand if there is a God, then I need to follow His directions and accomplish what He would have me to accomplish in this life. And as I'm doing these things, I'm doing these things with thanksgiving. I'm being the man that God wants me to be based upon the words of God and giving God thanks for enabling me to be that man. I'm going to be that woman that God wants me to be and giving God thanks for enabling me to be that woman, enabling me to be that parent, enabling me to be that servant, enabling me to accomplish what God would have me to accomplish. Thanking God for it. I would only understand it by understanding who God is. And I can only live it by trusting in the power of the Lord, the strength that He'll give me. Doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and at the same time giving thanks to God. Wow, powerful. 1 Thessalonians. In the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, and write these verses down, but verse 18 says this, in everything. You don't get to pick and choose what you are to be thankful for. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. It's a mentality. It's a way of life. It's what Paul writing to Timothy, it's the opposite of all those things. Yeah. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter, the last chapter of Hebrews, in chapter 13, Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 15, it says this, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Sometimes it's not really what you want to do, but you're battling with what's taken place. But as you battle with what's taken place, it's what you do out of faith. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Wow. Can you see how powerful? What a difference it'll make when you acknowledge God for who he is, and to give him thanks for everything. Might be some in here this morning that would say, how can you preach and tell me to be thankful when I'm being diagnosed with cancer? When my spouse divorced me? When I have prodigal teenagers, and you could go on and on and on. I just lost a parent. I just lost a loved one. How can you preach to me, preacher, to be thankful? How can I? How can I tell you to do anything that will help you more than to be thankful? This is the sin that leads to all the other sins. So this is the command that'll lead to the blessings of God in every area of our lives. It will be what you need at the time that you need it. Psalm chapter 92. Sometimes giving thanks is the last thing I want or feel like doing, because the devil's there trying to get you to blame God. The devil's there to try to get you to discredit God, as he did Adam and Eve. There is no God, or he really doesn't mean what he says. You really don't you don't have the words of God in this Bible here, whatever it might be. In Psalms 92 and verse 1, it says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. O Most High is acknowledging who God is. He is O Most High. And as I acknowledge that you are in existence, that you do live and you're eternal, then I can give you thanks and praise you. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. It's something that we need to keep on our minds. Don't let Satan steal from you what he wants to steal from you, your belief in God and your heart to give thanks. Wow. There's an adversary. There's a devil. He's going to try to keep you from both those things. So the greatest help that I can give and the greatest help that I can preach is to get you to do them. Acknowledge God. Give him thanks. The greatest testimony that I think that God has revealed to us about this would be Job. I did a whole series on the life of Job, and it's just a tremendous Bible study. But as we close here this morning, just with the last few minutes that I want to continue to preach here, I want you to focus on Job here for a few minutes. In Job in chapter 1, the Bible introduces Job to us. At the same time, the Bible introduces the devil to us. Because it's the devil going to attack one of God's choice servants that would give us help until for all time. The book of Job is supposed to be the oldest recordings that we know of. There was far before the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Old Testament. Pentateuch is the writings of Moses. So before even the writing of Moses, we had this testimony of Job. So that means that all of the patriarchs had the testimony of Job. Every Old Testament saint had the testimony of Job. Every believer in the New Testament church age has had the testimony of Job. The only one that didn't have the testimony of Job was Job. So we find here in Job chapter 1, he reveals to us the blessings that God bestowed upon Job. And then he reveals to us Satan. In verse 9, in chapter 1, it says this, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught?" Job is the main topic of conversation that God's revealing here between Satan, Lucifer, and God. "Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." This is spiritually what was taking place in each and every one of our lives. What will it take to get an individual to discredit who God is in their life and to not be thankful? "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Wow. And we all know what happened after that. The greatest persecution, the greatest attack on any man before Christ. The only one attacked with more fervency from the devil is the Christ himself. But before that, no one had ever felt the extent of the power of the devil to get him to turn his back on God, discredit who God is, and be thankful. Job knew God. And because he knew God, God allowed Job to be tested. And Job was able to defeat the devil and to come through this testing with a testimony for every other believer, every other saint to be helped by because of one thing. Job prepared himself for an attack. Job replied this way in Job chapter 1 and verse 20, when Satan took everything from him. Then Job arose right after hearing that his other children had died. All of his children were dead. All of his in-laws were dead. All of his family. And Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped, acknowledging God. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath made taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thanksgiving. Job acknowledged God, and he was thankful. He had prepared himself for that moment by, over in the chapter 1, verse 9, when it says, and it was so when the days that there were tested were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and after had his children, he's praying for his children. He rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Job had been praying and putting them in God's hands every morning. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned or cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Every morning it was a ritual for Job. Every morning it was part of his walk with God. He would get up every morning and acknowledge who God was. He would get every morning, he would worship God, sacrifice unto God. Every morning he would give thanks for every one individually of his children. Because it's the acknowledgement of God and your ability to be thankful that will prepare you for whatever the devil throws at you. Wow. Seven sons, three daughters. Bible doesn't tell us about the in-laws or the grandchildren, all the different things, but lost all of his health, all of his wealth. He would come back and attack his health. In all this, Job would not sin against God. What could prepare us for this kind of a attack? I know throughout raising our children and knowing the different things that could happen, we would pray and ask God to put a protective hand upon them, deliver them from any kind of satanic harm. So I knew that whatever would happen, it had to be within the will of God. And if I believed it to be in the will of God, no matter how tragic it might be, it would prepare me to stay focused on who God is and be thankful. Can I tell you, one of the hardest things maybe that we have to deal with in this life is death. The loss of loved ones. As I was preparing this, I just got thinking about that. And of course, I went through the loss of my dad when I was just 21. I lost the death of my mother about 8 years after that. I've lost four brothers. I've lost two sisters. Two grandchildren, twins, that I held in my arms right before they passed away. I've lost many other family members and church members. I preached the funeral services of 110 church members over my ministry. People that I love, people that I invested my life in. 110 church members. How do you prepare for that? You acknowledge God. And you remain thankful. To make acknowledgments to one for favors received. We're going to have to face some very difficult things in the last days. Perilous times shall come. We cannot fail in acknowledging God in all things, and we cannot fail in giving Him thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Job, after he had lost everything, you know the story, and Satan come back and put Job through the most painful physical abuse and attack that anyone could ever imagine. And the Bible says, so went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And then the Bible says, and all this did not Job sin with his lips. The last we see of Job when the attacks of the devil was Job on an ash heap, scraping boils to try to alleviate the pain. But can I tell you, as we know the Word of God, if we would have been able to get close to Job, and if you had listened, you might have heard Job saying this: thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and sweet. No matter what, if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ, and you understand the promises of God, and you understand the words that God has given to us, no matter what you face, if you prepare ahead of time, you can sing praise and give thanks to God. And in your darkest hours, the greatest pain that you'll experience, there's nothing that'll bring you more peace and help and to continue to acknowledge God and give Him thanks. If I could have every head bowed this morning. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the one who's wanting to steal from you the blessings of God in the midst of all the trials of life. Don't ever forget who God is. And don't ever stop giving Him thanks. Father, we bow before You now. We love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the truths of Your word. And Lord, knowing the perilous times are coming, and even if it's not the rapture and the tribulation and all the things, there's times in our own life, there's going to be losses. There's going to be a need. And I trust, God, that we would stay focused on who You are and that we would continue to do as You tell us to do, to give thanks. Bless in the invitation now. There might be somebody here that does not know You as a personal Lord and Savior. And I pray, God, that that individual would come under Your conviction. They would readily receive You today. I pray that they would be saved today. Others that are backslidden, maybe some that have been drifting away, help, God, them to come back to You, to be prepared for whatever they might have to face in their lives. Work in our midst now. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.